Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside.fm allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show. Welcome to episode number 15 of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. I'm Josh and not joined by Alex today. He had something to do. So you know what? F him. We're not talking about the Nets. No, I'm just kidding. But I'll give you a standings update real quick. Nets are 2-3. Maybe I'll get into them a little bit here, but you know, that's not the main part of this podcast, because if you couldn't already tell from the title, a very special guest once again joining this podcast, Ed Cohen, the Knicks play-by-play voice on radio. So I was lucky enough to have an interview and sit down with him. So that was super cool. And so that'll be coming up for you in a little bit. But it's not just me alone here today. I got a fellow Knicks fan, my friend Tobias. Toby, first of all, welcome to a first ever podcast I'm sure you've done. How do you feel right now?
You know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I always like to talk sports, so I guess just doing it on a podcast is going to be kind of the same, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, you do get the added ability now to voice your opinions to the public. It's not just to friends, so yeah, if you like that.
I mean, the friends don't listen to me. I don't know if the public will, you know?
So, again, fellow Knicks fan, again, Knicks-oriented podcast today. I'm sorry, but that's what happens when you miss episodes, Alex. So I guess that'll be what happens, and you could take it in. So, Toby, Knicks on top of the Eastern Conference right now. We don't talk about the other four teams or three teams that are 4-1.
Don't know what you're talking about. Like, the Knicks are alone in the standings right now. Everybody underneath us is just not really a good team, I guess you could say. I mean, obviously they're good, but like, just not as good as us. You know, honestly, I was watching the game and like, bro, Knicks have been playing so good this year. I mean, like, it's just been really good.
You know? Yeah. They are. They have. Listen, and we can get into it. The defense coming at the end of games, that's got to tighten up, right? Yeah. Thibodeau is a defensive-minded coach. He's got to tighten the shit up here. But besides that, I mean,
bro, RJ, though, he stopped like 2 game winners in these past 5 games. Mm-hmm. Bro, RJ's been so nice on that defense. Bro, last night I'm talking about the game. If we just hit the 2 free throws, we would have won that game so much easier. Like, and right, we couldn't score down the stretch at all. Like, the last 3 minutes, mm-hmm, we didn't have a single point. That can't happen. The defense was good. They only allowed, like, 10 points in 3 minutes. That's pretty good. But no points, that just can't happen at all. We got to hit a 3. We got to, like, Julius Randle has to penetrate. He has to kick the ball out, and someone has to hit a 3.
And he's got to make free throws. He's an NBA player. He's got to make his free throws, too.
He does. He has to look. It's okay if he misses one there, because then they need a 3 to win it. But if he misses both of them, that's just really bad there. You know what I mean?
No, I get you. I get you. And I mean, I honestly think that cost us the Magic game at home. Knicks got outscored in that fourth quarter 36-24 against the Orlando Magic. They end up winning that game. I think we could be undefeated right now. I know it's like, you know, Knicks fan mentality, but I think we saw it in that.
No, we should be undefeated. We really should be. We outscored them in the first 3 quarters. And it, like, we beat them so badly away, and then we lose in the Garden. Like, that's just not a good look for our franchise at all.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I mean, I'm pretty sure Randall was poor shooting, and I saw what's his name, Fournier, was not good shooting. Like, we need to shoot better. We need to play better D. We need to just tighten up.
I think Thibodeau will install that though, and as we know, he's a defensive minded coach, so it shouldn't be a problem. So I don't know. I think you're right though. I know you're a big Barrett fan. Who would you say is your favorite player on this Knicks team right now?
Obi Toppin. Easily my favorite player. Like, that's not even a question. Obi Toppin, he brings the energy. You know what I mean? Like, he steals the ball. He makes a slam. The whole garden is just jumping at his name. You know? Like, he's really a fan favorite right now, and I like him a lot.
And that's great, because that shows you don't have, like, the bandwagon mentality. You're not going Julius Randle. You're not going RJ. And as much as you love them as players, obviously, you're a Knicks fan. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You go with the underrated guy. I'm also that way. My favorite player is IQ. He hasn't been playing that much lately. For anyone who doesn't know, you should. But Emmanuel Quickly, I'm talking about. Listen.
Yeah, he has not been able to shoot the three. I mean, he had like one good quarter in a game. But besides from that, he has not been able to shoot the three at all.
Well, before you went on your little kind of roasting the player I chose. Okay, fine. But before you were going to do that, I was just going to say the amount of depth that this Knicks team has is incredible.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Talking about IQ, we're talking about him. We're talking about Derrick Rose. We're talking about Kemba Walker. And let's not even mention that we haven't even seen our young guys yet, right? We haven't even seen Quentin Grimes, who's also a guard.
We saw him a little bit in the blowout against the Magic. But aside from that, no, we haven't seen enough from him yet.
Yeah, so I think that's something to look forward to for this team. I think they're on a really good pace right now, and we're going to play the Pelicans tomorrow night, we meaning the Knicks. Another winnable game, right? I think
100%.
This Knicks team can beat anyone. There's no team where we're like,
we're going to lose. Yeah, I agree. We beat the Sixers by 10. We beat the Celtics, you know. We beat the Bulls, who were undefeated up until we played them. Like, there's no team that we go up against to, like, we're going to lose this game. There's no point in watching. Like, there's always a point in watching. You know what I mean? Sorry.
You're good. It's all that talking. Welcome to podcasting.
Mm-hmm. And another thing about the depth I want to say is I think we have the best. We have the best bench in the league. You know, we have so many players that if we need a big shot, they can step up. And it's just, yeah, it's been really good for us.
And I think The signings have been great. I mentioned in the interview that especially Fournier and Kemba, two guys who are not just great NBA players, they're good personalities. Kemba was mic'd up for that game against the Celtics, and you saw him kind of like going up to old coaches at old coaches on the Celtics and old players. Yes, exactly. Thank you. And you know, going up to them and like dabbing them up, saying, "Yo, what's good?" And Tom Thibodeau loves him as a player too. They have a relationship all the way back from what you know where he used to play. And then Fournier, I love how he's interactive with the fans. The man has a Twitter, and he interacts on there. He posts on there. So I just think it's great, and it's two good guys that we signed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, also not just like the guys that we signed, but the guys that we re-signed. You know, Noel, Rose, Burks. All these guys have been great additions to this team, and they've really just been good for us.
You think we're going to miss Bullock along the stretch? Or,
I mean, I think we will miss Bullock, but I think Fournier is a really good replacement. And the fact that we added Kemba over a guy like, what's his name? Fudge.
Lonzo.
No. Not like the last point guard we had. He's trash. Payton. Alfred Payton. The fact that we added Walker over Alfred Payton just makes everything good for me. And Walker's deal was so like team friendly. It really is nice to see.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree. I also, can we just talk about, I know, you know, we're talking Knicks, but going to the 76ers, cause you mentioned that, what the hell is the deal with Ben Simmons right now? What is going on in Philly?
You know, he has a really big ego. You can tell he thinks he's a really good player, and a lot of teams don't, and I don't think they're going to just sip him away from nothing. The Sixers definitely want something in return. And I think some of the people upstairs in the Sixers, like the GM and stuff like that, they want him to play because he's a good player. Like, if he's on his game, he's a good player. Like, they got the number one seed with him last year, so it obviously shows something. But I think he needs to leave the Sixers. I mean, he's just, he doesn't gel with their players at all. He doesn't gel with Embiid right now, because Embiid has been talking out against him. He needs to leave the Sixers, and it needs to happen soon, or it's not going to happen at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree.
I think it's a little bit like the Le'Veon Bell issue.
You know? Oh, great comparison.
Because Le'Veon, he wanted the money, and I mean, it's a little different for Ben, but you know, it's kind of the same in different aspects.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that it's crazy what's going on down there, just because you know that he just doesn't fit on that team.
Oh, not at all.
You know it.
The coach has spoken out against him. Embiid has, like.
Mm. And then it's funny they took back their statements and said, "Oh, we respect him and all that." Because they're
hoping he still plays. That's what they're hoping right now. Because without him, they don't look like a good team at all. I mean, they're 2-3. They haven't been playing good at all. It's just, you know, just a bad organization in general.
So let's do one more thing here on this intro, and then we'll send it to the interview. Knicks got 5 games coming up. Toby, I'm going to read off the 5, and we're going to give our prediction for the next 5 games. Okay. All right. Knicks versus Pelicans, W or L?
That's a W. They're without Zion, you know, their best player, really. I mean, Ingram has been really good this year, but I don't think it's going to be enough to beat the really deep Knicks, so I think that's going to be a W.
I would have to agree. I think the Knicks go 1-0 to start this season. Or start this season. Start this 5-game stretch. Thank you very much. Raptors, Knicks. I'm going another
Raptors,
W.
Another W. I mean, Raptors are a terrible team. Let's be honest right now.
Knicks, Pacers.
Okay. So, I don't know. It could be an L. It could be a W. I'm not 100% sure on this one, because Pacers, they have kids like Sabonis, good players. But I think it will be a W, but I think it's going to be a closer game than the other two.
I know. You know what's interesting is that this team is very forward/center-based, because Sabonis obviously would be like a power forward. They also have Miles Turner on that team as well, so something to think about there. Is it really bad that I might go 5-0 on these 5? Because my next one is against the Bucks, and although I might think, I'm going to have to give it to the Bucks on this one.
I'm going to have to give it to the Bucks too. The Bucks are reigning champions. They've got 2-time MVP. I mean, this is definitely still a winnable game. Like we said, no game is automatically a loss for us.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bucks, they're a really good team, and I think we're going to lose it.
And then we got the Cavs. I have them going 4-1 in that 5-game stretch.
Me too. I mean, 8-2, that's a really good record. I think that might still be top 3 seed. I'm not 100% sure based on
better be. Games.
But yeah, 8-2, I mean, that's going to be a good record if we can.
If we can do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Bucks, I think it's a game to lose, just because if there was a game to pick out of these 5, they showed what they can do on the first game of the NBA season against the Nets. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Bucks, really good team, let's be honest. But I don't know. I mean, it's definitely winnable. They just lost to the Timberwolves. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a little bit iffy there. They lost to the Heat, too, by almost 30, you know? The biggest question is Giannis going to take over the game? If he's not going to take over the game, I think it's an easy win, in all honesty. They don't have the depth that we do, and they have a better starting 5, but they don't have the depth, and I think the depth might win us the game. Because if you look at these past games that we've played, our next 5 have outscored their next 5 by so much that it's been winning us games because of our, like, next 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our bench. We're really a tight group, great group. So, Toby, you made it through the intro for the first time. This is a little trial hour here. Would you come on again?
Yeah, definitely. I love to come on, you know? I love talking sports. I love doing all this type of stuff. So, yeah, 100%.
We got a W there, and another W with an interview coming up. What a perfect transition. Enjoy this interview with the radio voice of the New York Knicks. You're going to hear it again in a second, but Ed Cohen interview coming up for you. Enjoy. We are back now with a very special guest, the radio voice of the New York Knicks. It is Mr. Ed Cohen. How are you?
Josh, how are you? Great to be with you, and seeing that you already had Kenny Albert and Ian Eagle and Tint Capshaw on, the honor's mine. Thank you for having me.
Of course, I'm excited. I'm ecstatic to have you on, especially during this time of we're recording this after the day where the Knicks, let's just say once again, it came down to the wire in that Bulls matchup. But obviously a perfect time to have you on. And I like on the podcast to kind of go back in time, to go from back in time to current day. So I want to start out by asking you just how did you get into sports broadcasting?
Josh, I was probably just like you, a sports craze kid. I grew up in Westchester, New York, and even at the age of 10, I had this sense of maybe this is something I'd be interested in when I get older. And for me, it really started at least covering sports from a broadcast standpoint when I was in high school. We had a public access TV station in Scarsdale, New York, where I grew up. And for a while, it was actually Channel 15, which was a great spot in the cable lineup because you could get to it fairly quickly when you went up and down, when people used to do that before the channel guide. But that was the opportunity. I'd call a handful of basketball games every year. Right around my senior years when I met Bruce Beck, who's been at Channel 4 forever, used to be at MSG. Bruce and I have known each other for over 20 years, has been just a wonderful mentor and someone who's really helped me step by step along this journey. Went to Ithaca College after I graduated, had four wonderful years there, really learned about not just the business, but how to go about it. It's a great place to get your hands on the equipment, get experience right off the bat, the moment you walk onto campus. And we had some really talented announcers in my years. I called football on the radio my junior year, anchored on television for a number of years, among other things. I even DJed, actually, sometimes at 2 a.m, playing all sorts of music. So it was really a wonderful place to get that experience, get the reps, but also learn how to make some mistakes and improve off of them. And for me, I graduated, and my goal coming out of college was to land a Division I radio basketball play-by-play job. And I made a list of like 15 schools within a two-hour radius of where I grew up. And I cold called many people in these athletic departments, and most were filled. Most didn't even answer. But luckily for me, a man at Manhattan College named Mike Antonaccio did. And that ended up being my first on-air job. So basketball on the radio in the New York area. And it's pretty cool to look back, given there have been a lot of stops in between. But that was kind of the goal coming out of school. And it's pretty neat and very humbling to see full circle. To be here now, getting ready for my fifth season here with the Knicks, five games in.
So speaking of the Knicks, was there like a game where you had, whether it was at MSG or whether it was at an away arena, the realization of like you're looking around, you're seeing the fans there, or maybe it's even before, when you're kind of prepping for the game and you just see like this empty arena, all these seats, and you're like, wow, I made it. I'm here.
It's funny, Josh. I think the Garden, under any circumstance, will always do that to you when there's that first time moment. I remember for me, even just covering a PSAL high school championship game at the Garden a few years out of school on the sidelines, what that meant. I called a number of college games for Manhattan and the Rutgers women's team at Madison Square Garden. And you'd walk in, and before the renovation, you'd take the elevator to 5, and you'd actually walk out the entrance where Willis Reed walked out, right between the benches, courtside. And it never got old. Covered a ton of college basketball games there, on top of just growing up and being a fan and going to games and concerts and everything else. But I think every time you call a game at the Garden in particular, it's just something different. And I do remember even having called games there and covered many events over the years at MSG, that first Knicks home game on the radio. I just remember circling the concourse a few times and looking at the murals, Knicks, Rangers, concerts, the Pope, you name it, and taking that all in. So yes, that was memorable. It was very humbling. And even now, we carry the national anthem live on our home broadcasts. When the national anthem is being performed, I take a breath and kind of look at both ends and just say, okay, it's one of 82, but it's always, always special.
Is there a really special game that comes to mind for you that you've called?
It's funny. I'd say in the first few years, and obviously there were some losing seasons for the Knicks among many over the last two decades. So you remember, I think the moments in particular during those types of seasons, I talk about the game where Mario Hezonja blocked LeBron James. That was really exciting. That was one of the best moments, but in a 17-win season. But you hunger for games that mean something. And I think if you go back to last year, game one and game two against Atlanta are two nights I'll never forget. Not just because the Knicks were back in the playoffs and ended up winning game two, but you think about the pandemic. You know, the year began with no fans, and then they had 10% capacity. And by the time the playoffs turned around, there was talk it'd be 5,000 or 6,000 fans who were allowed in. And within days of that first game, with the vaccination rates really moving up, word got out that 90% of the fans who were going to be allowed in, if they were vaccinated, they could get to 15,000, 16,000. So just being a crowd anywhere was incredibly cathartic. That was a big word that I remember using at the time. And it was just, it was surreal. You know, here we are, we're back, and the Knicks are in the playoffs. And it's a close game. Trae Young hurt him in game one, obviously, but then to come back and win game two, we'll never forget those two nights. What they meant for the team, but really what they meant for all of us because of what we were coming back from.
You mentioned that series, and obviously, this might have to be in my list or like up there for what I'm about to ask you. And that is, so you mentioned that obviously you've covered not so successful Knicks teams, but this could also be from your childhood. There's a two-part answer to this. Your best Knicks player that you've ever seen live and best basketball player just in general that you think you've ever seen live.
Well, very good question.
Because I was going to say Trae Young, like for me, because obviously, like, I kind of grew up towards the end of Kobe Bryant. But I was never able to see him live. I was able to see when the Knicks played the Celtics, they went to, I think I saw Rondo. But I haven't seen any of those players live. So that's why I was thinking, like, maybe Trae Young, if I was to say, but this is your question. I apologize.
No. I'd say if I were to go back, and I think it's natural in all of us to hearken back to some of the players we saw as kids or in our teens or even in our early 20s, just because those memories are so magical, because it's so new and fascinating. But I do remember from a Knicks standpoint, I mean, Patrick Ewing, when I went to Knicks games. And I went to a lot of Nets games as a kid too, in large part because it was easier to get tickets. Only 10,000 people were there, and you could see the best players around the league at any given time. But seeing Patrick Ewing, knowing what he meant to the Knicks, one of the 50 greatest players in history, and just what he meant to those teams. And listen, he didn't win a championship, but he's the greatest Knick of all time. You never forget those types of moments watching Patrick play. I know it's debated whether you're a Jordan guy or a LeBron guy, but I can say, and I think The Last Dance supported it too, seeing Michael Jordan in person, and I think I only saw him play maybe two or three times with the Bulls, and I actually saw him a few times when he was with the Wizards for those 2 years. Seeing Michael Jordan live is something people of my age, it's almost indescribable. It's something you never forget. He's just on that level. But those are two for me to give you formal answers to your question. Guy like Shaquille O'Neal, you mentioned Kobe, but when he played with Kobe with the Lakers, I mean, Shaq was a freak of nature. You know, there hasn't been anyone like him since. And maybe Giannis will be that guy for many people who watch now, many younger fans now. But his size, his movement, his domination, there have been very few players who've been that dominant for as long as he was in the NBA. You know, Shaq, seeing him when I was your age, I put him in that conversation too. I really would.
Could you see Zion as a player like that?
Not yet. And I think part of that too is the West is tough and they're still growing as a team. And obviously his health, he was healthy last year, but he only played, I think, 24 games as a rookie, and he's out right now to begin his third season. And I think there's just something about where he is right now in his career with his team. He can get there, but I just don't know if he's there yet. Shaquille O'Neal in his fourth or fifth year had been to a NBA finals and was one of the 50 greatest players, controversially selected of all time. I don't know if you put Zion in that category at this stage yet.
Earlier in the podcast, you mentioned how we had Tim Capshaw on, and something that I asked him that I also want to talk to you about, because you had, I'm sure, a very similar situation, and you called many Knicks games during a pandemic. That is something I think that you can hold to yourself as, I am one of the only sports broadcasters to call Knicks games during a pandemic, because that has not happened a lot of times in history. So just for you, your personal experience throughout that, calling it off monitors, and you know how it's kind of changed, and seeing a packed garden, you know, and being able to be in that environment now.
Josh, it was really surreal, start to finish last year. And obviously on the back end, to have fans back in the building was, I think, the great reward for the NBA, certainly in every city. It was just such a sign of progress. But you hope that it's the only time you work under those circumstances because of what was going on in the world. With regards to what it was like, and I've called a number of sports over the years via monitor, usually for television, and it's a lot different when you're doing a radio call off a TV broadcast, and you have to really think about your audience in that particular spot. But last year, no announcers traveled during the regular season, and the world wasn't in a spot where putting more people on the road was going to help matters. And I think we all knew, hey, this year you have to find a way. It might not be what we are all accustomed to, but I think you ask, by and large, the announcers around the league and really in all the professional sports, you make do, you find a way. And that was the big sentiment. At the Garden, I think the two spots where it felt incredibly magnified, where you really missed the fans and it was noticeable, was at halftime and when the game was over. Because the Knicks had these thrilling games, especially early in the season at the Garden, and you get to halftime, say there'd be a 10-0 run going into halftime, and the players leave the floor, the people who are executives with the team, general managers, scouts, whomever, they go back to the locker room or wherever, and it's completely empty and there's nothing. And then they're back and the game continues. And there was a few thrilling victories where the game ends, there's an interview, players go off, and 90 seconds after the final buzzer, the Garden's completely quiet. And that really put it in perspective of, yes, you're in the building, which is great, but this is different. The Garden shouldn't feel like my house. I shouldn't be one of 200 people in the building. That's not right. So to have the fans back, even 10% of them come February last year, was just a huge step, let alone what we experienced when we got to the playoffs.
And I think Knicks fans knew that, you know, the one of 10,000, and then it, you know, as the months went on, as the weeks went on, significantly increased. I think those fans knew what their role was. And I thought for how many people were in the Garden, they made it sound loud. They, you know, so I'd like to applaud the Knicks fans for that. I think they did very well with that.
No, you're right. They did. You know, the funny thing is, Josh, the first game where the fans were allowed in. You had Steph Curry and the Warriors, and it turned out to be a really good game. Golden State won, but it was close at the end. And that was the night as well when Julius Randle was named an All-Star. So they had a lot to cheer about, but you're 100% right. I mean, 10% capacity with Knicks fans. The Garden's unlike any arena in the NBA, and they made a dent. There's no doubt about it.
You were talking about thinking about your audience. When it comes to radio and television, there's a difference between how much you want to call. You have to be a lot more descriptive with the radio because fans, they don't have, you know, they don't have the TV in front of them. They can't see what's going on. So when it comes to basketball, obviously a very fast-paced sport when it comes to major sports, how do you kind of navigate not talking too fast? Like, oh, Rin Oswald, he shoots it. Oh, you know, like, and you kind of get too ahead of yourself and then you lose it. Maybe you miss a call or whatever. So where do you find that middle ground of like not going too fast, but being descriptive enough where you keep everyone in the loop?
You know, Josh, I can tell your audience that's listening right now, I'm smiling, and you and I are speaking via Zoom now, so you can see that smile because you get it. And you make a terrific point in that radio and TV, the approach is completely different. And I think in terms of being mindful of the audience on radio, in my particular spot, I'm always thinking the action's fast. There's a lot going on. I see it. I'm trying to give as much information as possible while having fun, keeping the energy going, making it exciting. But at the end of the day, you have to think about who's listening and say, do they understand what's happening? And there's a fine line between trying to give a ton while also knowing they have to digest it. And that's something that I think does come with time. The longer you do it, you get better at that approach. Description is everything. Where's the ball? Who has it? What team? What side of the floor are they shooting? The colors of the uniforms, everything that makes an NBA game so special, you're trying to capture in a very concise amount of time. But you're always thinking about your audience. You're always thinking about how to paint the best picture and tell the most specific story. And the other side of that, too, is you have to also consider who you're working with. And for me, I'm on the radio with Brendan Brown, who knows the game. He's brilliant. He sees it. He thinks it. And it's different than TV. You know, television is an analyst medium. They're the stars. And they are, too, on radio. But the window to break something down is shorter and it's more finite. So in many ways, it's my job to make sure that Brendan, number one, has the room to make his point, but it has to come at the right time where he can do it, but we can get to the next play and we don't fall behind. So there's so much that goes into it. But to your original question, yes, you always have to think about the listener because this has to be good for them. They need to know everything that they can't see in a way that's fun and easy to absorb.
And I think like it's great how there is so much like time of it going fast, of the game continuing right between stoppages and obviously timeouts on the floor. But like you were saying, for you, it's kind of hard to let your analyst step in and digest what's happening in the game. And while also you're trying to make the call on the floor. So I don't know, just another thing to point out there. With this Knicks team right now, 4-1, top of the Eastern Conference at the way you want to look at it, with what, four teams all at 4-1. I'll put them at the top of the Eastern Conference. What have you thought of this Knicks team so far? And I guess this is probably for you calling Knicks games the most anticipated Knicks season.
Bar none. There's no doubt about it. And Josh, this is year five for me. You know, last year, what made it so special is that the Knicks overachieved and they took to Tom Thibodeau, the younger players improved, and Julius Randle, as the prime example, took a huge leap in his career and then doubled down and showed New York and the Knicks how much he loved being here in the extension he signed. But you love going into seasons with expectations, and it's a matter of can they be met? And that's what's made at least the first five games so enjoyable. Now, I think we all need to check our blood pressure because of what happened at the end against Boston, certainly against Orlando at home, and obviously last night as we tape this with the win against Chicago. But you're really seeing the impact that a couple of players can have on what this team does offensively. And as much as it's important for the guys who performed well last year to keep that going, adding Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier has really been the game changer. And you can just see it in terms of the spacing, the increase in three-point attempts. And here's another example. Look at a guy like Mitchell Robinson. I mean, he was really robbed of 40 games that he didn't play last year, just as he was really starting to turn the corner and develop. You know, his game defensively last year came a long way, but there's a lot more room to grow. And his offensive game, I think in particular, is something that needs to expand. And he says it himself. He wants to become more of a complete offensive player in year four. And you're starting to see that now with really good guards who can create for themselves. It only opens things up for Robinson, especially in the pick and roll. And he's looked far different in five games than he did all of last year when he first started playing under Tom Thibodeau. So it's been a fun team to watch thus far. Again, they've won some close games. They've won on the road. It's only 5 of 82. But where they are right now, I think, is, as a Knicks fan, they're fun, they're exciting, they're competing every night. And that's ultimately what this great fan base wants. And it's what's really endeared this group of players and this coach to arguably the greatest fans in the NBA.
And I do really like how the new additions to the squad have been, like, they're really nice. They're fun guys on the team. You can already tell. I mean, we knew going in, but once we signed Kemba Walker, the personality that he is, the depth that he adds to this team, not only on the sense of a roster, but he makes relationships with players, right? You know, he has friendships. He was mic'd up for the ESPN broadcast of the first game. He's going up to Celtic coaches, Celtic players that he played with last season, to having them up, saying hello, saying, you know, asking how they've been doing. He's just a great guy. And then Evan Fournier, what I love about him, he talks to the fans. He relates with them. You know, he has a Twitter account and he posts on that regularly and daily. He went on Knicks Fan TV, which was, you know, it was like one of the top shows for Knicks fans. So, like, the two guys that they brought in not only are really good players on the basketball court, but I think they're perfect for New York. And obviously, you know, being the New York Knicks, I don't know, it like all fits together. So I think they're great guys on and off the court.
Josh, you're spot on. And there's something to be said for being a group that the fans, and this might sound a little convoluted, but there's something about being a team that the fans can relate to, almost feel like they can reach out and touch them. You know, like, I know these guys, they're down to earth. They love playing with each other. Tom Thibodeau uses the phrase play for one another. And a lot of times it's talk, but it really is true with this group. And in New York, listen, New Yorkers, you can't put much past them. And what you see is what you get. And it's genuine. And the fans know it and they see it. And I think that's what's really endeared this group to Knicks fans. In many ways, they see a lot of themselves in these players, because this is a group of guys, if you look at many of the individuals, have had to really work hard for everything that they've achieved. A lot of guys last year made their first appearance in the playoffs. It took a long time. You know, Tom Thibodeau, New Britain, Connecticut, had to grind his way to an NBA head coaching job with Derrick Rose, with Taj Gibson in Chicago. There's a grittiness, there's a likability, and it starts with your veterans. Like you mentioned with Kemba Walker, the players who the young guys look up to, but it permeates. And speaking from an announcer standpoint, it really makes it so much fun every night to cover these guys. It really does.
And my final question for you, we're obviously recording this, like you mentioned already, on Friday. We got a game tomorrow against the New Orleans Pelicans. They're coming off a loss against the Hawks. And No Zion right now, but we got Brandon Ingram, Valanciunas, Devontae Graham. What is your thoughts going into this matchup? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I think number one is you have good length with those guys who you mentioned, and that will be a challenge for the Knicks. Obviously, it's a little different matchup against Chicago, and unfortunate news, by the way, coming out, Patrick Williams and hurting his wrist, and he's done for the season for the Bulls. But look, it's the second game of a road trip for the Knicks. That's never easy. It's still very early in the season, and New Orleans has been struggling at times to begin the year. Did go on the road recently and pull one out against Minnesota. But these games are always tough. And I think for the Knicks, you like the fact from a matchup standpoint, you don't have to worry about Zion Williamson now. But Ingram's tough. And Ingram's a guy who they saw last year at the Garden can really hurt them, especially off the dribble. So I think it puts the onus on their guards, but certainly guys like RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson too, because Valanciunas is so versatile, as an example, that somebody who can drag you to the perimeter, but also get to the basket. You know, if you're Mitchell, that's a challenge. But the good news about the Knicks right now is even without Nerlens Noel, and he's still a game by game decision, hoping he makes his debut soon, you have the versatility with Taj Gibson. Or if you want to go small, they've tried it with Randall and Toppin, and it's showed some really dividends. And I think that's a plus. The matchup will call for how the Knicks play it. But 4-1, they've won on the road so far this year. Feeling good going into a sixth game of the season.
At Ed Cohen Sports on Twitter, go follow him there. And listen, 98.7 ESPN Radio, the voice of the New York Knicks, play-by-play. Mr. Ed Cohen, we thank you so much for joining us.
Josh, thank you, man. Look forward to listening to some of your future podcasts with other guests, and really appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.